Welcome to the X-Cast, X-Files Podwatch, episode 11. We're going to be covering the episodes Darkness Falls and Tombs. I'm your host for today, covering in for Tony Black. My name is Russ Hugo, and with me is Lauren Forey. Hello.
Hi, Russ.
Hi. So this is going to be a great talk, as Lauren, as you may have heard on the previous episode, when she talked about her work in writing an X-Files canon story about these two episodes, It Fills in the Gap. We'll be talking about that after Darkness Falls. But first, let's talk a little bit about Darkness Falls. Was originally aired April 15th, 1994. Production number is, it's season one, episode 19, and it was written by Chris Carter and directed by Joe Napolitano. Do you want to provide a summary about the episode?
Absolutely.
Since it's one of your favorites,
too. It is. Darkness Falls is my jam. I still have the novelization of it, too, that I got when I was a kid. They did a novelization version. But anyway, so yes, Darkness Falls is our nice, scary trip to the woods story that really is like a little mini horror film here in season one. So Mulder and Scully get word of these disappearances of some loggers out in the Pacific Northwest. Mulder's clocked on to the fact that it's happened before. So they head out there and discover that most of the loggers have disappeared, and some of the ones they do find are dead and kind of almost mummified in some trees, by like almost like in a cocoon. And it ends up that there are some sort of weird swarms of bioluminescent insects hiding out there in the woods that come out at night when darkness falls. And they suck out all the fluids. They surround a person, just take out all their fluids and kill them in a very painful fashion. And Mulder and Scully, along with a sheriff and a few other people, get trapped out there at night. They're deep in the woods where you can't make it back into town within a day. And they almost get trapped there. And there's another subplot going on with an environmentalist played by Titus Welliver, named Doug Spinney, who takes off with get a gas canister, the last bit of gas that they have, because Mulder trusts him to go get help. They're all suspicious. They try to hike out of the woods when they realize that they can't make it there another day. Almost get caught out. Spinney returns to the rescue, ends up getting eaten himself by the bugs, and Mulder, Scully are trapped in the car, consumed by the bugs in the cocoon, but fortunately daylight arrives just in time. And then they get taken to a treatment center and somehow miraculously recover by the time Tombs rolls around.
Excellent summary. And you've mentioned this is one of your favorites. Why? Let's maybe, right off the bat, what are some of the main draws for you for this story?
I think, one, it's the setting. I grew up in the woods, so I've always liked stories, scary stories set in the woods. It reminds me of home, which sounds weird. But I like knowing that, oh, it could happen close by, happen here. And there's just something really fun about just like this little capsule story where it's like a mini movie. Like I said, it hits all the beats of a really good horror film. You have the mismatched group of people. You don't know who to trust. Alliances shift throughout the episode. And while you know Mulder and Scully are probably not in any real peril, you don't know who of these other characters are going to survive. And they're good characters that Chris Carter wrote for this episode, secondary characters, that you want them to survive, and you don't know if they will.
Taking that, the way you described the episode, there's some similarities to a lot of other X-Files episodes and Bottle episodes, you know, Ice, and even later seasons. What is it specifically about Darkness Falls compared to other X-Files episodes, in addition to the woods, that draws you to it?
I think that's a really tough question because it's, I don't know,
sorry.
It's good. It's good because it's been such in part of my brain for so long. For some reason, I don't know what struck me when I was a kid. You know, I always talked about this with Tony, but I was like 7 or 8 when they first started airing X-Files, and I've watched it since then, since the very beginning. And so I don't know what drew me instantly as a kid to that. I just know as I've looked back over the years, when I think of X-Files episodes I love, that one always pops up in my head. It really might have to do with something about the guy in the cocoon, the corpse that they find in the cocoon, because we have little versions of the cocoon, those cocoons for caterpillars where I live. And it was really cool to walk around and think, oh, if that was just a little bit bigger, you know, what might I find in there? And I think it's something, too, we really get to see Mulder and Scully, you know, together with people. They try to trust each other. There's a little bit of doubt there. And I think it helps grow their relationship as well, this episode. It's towards the end of season one now. They've had, you know, like adventures like Ice together. And this is another one that kind of tests a little bit of their limits to how they can work together, how they can solve something together. And especially when Mulder gives the rest of the gas away and he and Scully have an argument about that. Would that break them up or will they find a way to work around it? And they end up finding a way to work around it. And Mulder's guilt at the end, too, I think, is something that stuck with me because he promised her, as he says, a nice trip to the woods at the beginning of the episode. And he really almost cost her life here. It's one of the episodes, other than Ice, where they're in the most physical danger. And I think that stuck with me, too, of how guilty Mulder felt about that.
Yeah, the guilt is a really good point because it is handled well. And I think the danger angle you brought up is another thing I like is, yes, like you mentioned, we know that they're going to make it out alive. But the way the story goes and the way it ends, it's got a real, how do you say, it's got a lot of gravity to the way it ends. It's got a nice tone that feels, compared to something like, you know, Dode Calm, which gets a lot of flack from fans as kind of a quick reboot or a quick reset at the end of the episode. This one feels like something negative, something severe did occur to all the characters. And personally, for me too, I also have been drawn, this is in my top X-Files, probably my top three X-Files episodes also. And not to plagiarize you too much, but growing up around the woods, actually growing up near where this was filmed, near the Olympic National Forest, this was one of the few TV shows I'd ever seen that really felt like that part of the woods. It just felt very damp, a lot of moss. And it wasn't polished. Even the way the hair was done and the clothing, it really let it resemble kind of a cold, uncomfortable forest. And it allowed some of the set pieces, like the cocoon and things, to pop a little bit more. I also love the stump. Always stuck with me when I was young and I first saw the episode. And probably if we had to do those five questions of X, one of the most striking visuals for me of the series is the final shot where they're all cocooned in the car. I thought that was really well done. And then the quarantine, of course. Kind of bring it back to the government conspiracy.
Yeah, it hints at it a bit, like, oh, we're going to handle it, Mulder, and yes, well, what happens if you don't get all the swarm? And the guy just says, well, that's not an option. You know, it's, well, it might be an option. How is it not going to be an option? What lengths are they going to go to contain this? And that implies almost, like, how many other people might have to die before they do find a solution? So it's one of those really nice, ominous X-Files endings, cliffhanger endings that they never come back to ever again.
Maybe season 11?
Maybe season 11. A whole Darkness Falls sequel for one of the episodes.
That's one thing I missed about the season 10, and actually a lot of the, when we'll talk about like season 8 and 9, is the absence of the woods and nature. And just, it was, the urban aspect of X-Files was great, but I kind of miss a little bit of that. And I think there's something about the less overly dynamically lit and the less dressed up setting of Darkness Falls with nature that makes it something special for me. Now to ask, what about some things about the episode that maybe don't work so well? Is this hard? It's maybe kind of mean.
Yeah, this is a mean one on this one.
I'm sorry.
I've got like a blind spot for this episode. Other than the fashion, can't really do anything about that in 1994.
Oh, I love the fashion. How could you?
Scully's coat, I swear, I think my sister had a coat just like that in those same colors.
So that coat's in the positive column.
Yeah, that coat is, that's true. That does fond memories. I wish that the guy that gets, I forget his name, he's not the sheriff or the forest ranger, not the forest ranger, he's the other man, I guess from the logging company. They find in the truck and his face is pressed up against the glass. He's kind of like the main human antagonist in that story. He's the one that really doesn't trust the environmentalists, calls them the monkey wrenchers, will never trust Spinney ever. He was like a really good way to stir up more conflict in that episode. And then he's gone. Like, he's like, I'm going to hike off in the woods. And then his conflict is kind of removed. And I felt when I was rewatching it, he does kind of seem to me exit maybe a little bit early. I felt if they could keep him around. He could have stirred up a lot more trouble and raised that tension a little bit more in those later nights. I mean, I understand why they had him run off, because they wanted to get him comeuppance and they wanted another body count. But I think having him around could have really turned more people maybe against Mulder when he gives the gasoline to Spinney, and could have really tested, you know, Scully's loyalty a little more.
That's a good point. I didn't actually think about how quickly he is dispatched, but it is definitely before the halfway mark, I believe. That's a good point. All right. So how would you give it a quick rating out of 10?
For me, this one has to be a 9, if not a 9.5. Some of that might be a little bit sentimental, but I think it's just an almost perfect bottle episode.
Great. I objectively, and I know that's even not a fair term to use, I might give it a 7. For the time and even now, but sentimentally, I could not argue. It's a 9, 9.5, easy. All right, let's move on to our second episode today. And our second episode is going to be Tombs. And before we dig into that, I want to talk a little bit about the story that you did, which is now canon and fits perfectly between these two episodes.
So I wrote the story Strizga for Secret Agendas Volume 3, edited by Jonathan Mayberry. When Jonathan was looking for stories, this immediately popped in my mind. One, because Darkness Falls is my favorite episode, like we talked about. And second, because in Tombs, we see Mulder and Scully, they are perfectly healthy. There's no timestamps on these episodes, so there's no indication within the series how much time has actually passed, but you'd think they would need a decent amount of recovery time. They don't have any scars or anything. They don't even reference what happened in Darkness Falls in Tombs. So I wanted to fill in that gap in that time, so I wrote a story where it's their first case back after getting off medical leave. And it's another trip to the woods, except this time closer to my home in the woods of Pennsylvania. So not quite as foreboding as the Pacific Northwest. And it deals with a lot of Scully wanting to show that she can hold her own. She did get the worst of the bugs in Darkness Falls. And Mulder, you know, dealing with those guilt issues that he seems to have at the end of Darkness Falls. And so they can work through those issues, work through another case, gives them some time to heal, and then sets it up for Tombs, where they look perfectly fine and healthy.
Excellent. That's one of the great things about being able to come back now and add additional stories in. And we talk about filling in the gaps, especially early on before they had really nailed down timelines and the mythology and knew what they're going to go, and be able to go in hindsight and piece that together. And considering that is also one of my favorite episodes, Darkness Falls and Tombs is great. This is just an incredible opportunity now of all these great writers such as yourself being able to do this and give us more to explore as we go back into our rewatches and rereads. So all listeners, go pick up that volume and all the other volume. Kudos. So Tombs was originally aired April 22nd, 1994, episode number 20. It is written by the classic Glenn Morgan and James Wong duo and directed by another X-Files stalwart, David Nutter. This is, of course, a sequel to the early hit episode Squeeze, where the character Eugene Victor Tombs and his special ability to stretch himself through small areas and eat people's livers gets released and goes on another killing spree until he's eventually stopped by our stalwart heroes in a very fun showdown underneath an escalator. What is your opinion, roughly? What are some of the highlights or lowlights? What are your thoughts about Tombs?
What I loved most, and I realize this when I was rewatching it, is how it plays off our expectations of what happened in Squeeze. Like with coming up through a toilet and, you know, twisting the screws off the air vents. We've seen all this before. We think we know what Tombs is going to do, and then they twist that on its head. Specifically when Tombs breaks into Mulder's apartment when Mulder is sleeping on the couch, they think, oh, here it is. He's going to come in and he's going to murder him. And he does the opposite. Tombs hurts himself to frame Mulder for an attack to get him in trouble. And I just thought that was brilliant, because it's like, how do you create suspense around a character where we know now what the monster is, we know his tricks, we know what he's after, so what can they do to make it interesting? And I think they did an amazing job at that.
That's a great point. And the framing angle makes the opening court scene, which is a little... it's a little classic Mulder going over the top and expecting what people will follow along with on some of his rants, especially in a court of law. It makes that work, I think, a lot better than it could have.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of fits into the arc overall really nicely. One thing I like about it quite a bit that isn't so much to do with the plot as it is an extension of Squeeze, but I do like the settings and the moods the episode creates. Seeing Toombs' home and the giant nest in that and how it's constructed and the lighting and allowing Doug Hutchinson's extreme performance to hit new highs of insanity. So anyways, what are your thoughts about the ending and the way it wraps up the story?
I'll tell you, I the same way I still look at Trees for Darkness Falls, I still look at escalators the way I do because of how Toombs ends. And I think it's that brilliant... again, horror trick of, you know, less is more. You don't see Toombs get crushed. You hear a little bit of what sounds like the Wilhelm scream, and then just that, you know, single trail of blood as the stairs go by. And I love that scene. Though I have to admit that the part where Mulder's trying to escape Toombs underneath the escalator right before that, not as terrifying as it was when I was about 8 years old. It's a pretty kind of almost cheesy, Mulder's crawling along, he kicks a few times, and, you know, that's pretty much all that happens. I think it wraps it up really well. I mean, there's a few times that they come back to, like, those cliffhangers, like in Squeeze, and give you a continuation that doesn't have to do with the conspiracy or the mythology. So I think that's one of the reasons I like it, too. It's one of our rare glimpses where they did decide to finish off what starts as more of a bottle episode. And also, I don't know, brought this up, I noticed this when I was writing my short story. This is the first time we see Skinner, too. So it stands out for me for that as well. It's actually the first episode that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that he pops up in.
No, I believe that's correct. And that definitely earns it extra points. Going back to Squeeze and then also Darkness Falls, one of the things that I always enjoyed about the X-Files being slightly more real in its presentation of Supernatural than a lot of other shows. And what I mean by that is that the context that it's in is presented as this is the real world and something is happening, sort of like Kolchak, which, you know, Carter borrowed from. But there's these little elements you sometimes can see in the real world that are exaggerated, like you mentioned earlier with the coons or, you know, tree rings. And Squeeze with the escalator. One thing I really liked about the end and the idea of the way they opened up the space underneath the escalator with the nest and the shape of that is just a different way to imagine empty space and hidden space within an urban environment. Something very organic and grotesque in a very cold, generally squarish, structured environment, like a giant wasp nest. I just always loved that visual. As a child, the spitting and the chewing, the creating of the nest was more grotesque than any of the murders. And I don't know if that's a healthy thing.
No, I think you're right. I think we're so used to seeing, oh yeah, it's blood, it's fake blood, even when we're kids. But to see just like somebody like licking newspaper and it's like this yellowy saliva, it's like, yeah, we'll see people like attack each other on TV a lot, but you don't see a lot of people licking newspaper in that way. Especially knowing what it's for, you know, knowing it's for this nest.
Yes, it's the world's most grotesque paper mache. So, what would you rate Tomb?
I'm going to give Tombs an 8. Knock it down a little bit because I think the fight with Mulder at the end, even in that enclosed space, like I said, comes off a little cheesy now, a little anticlimactic. But overall, it's a really good continuation in the sequel to Squeeze.
I'm going to probably have to put it in at around a 7, 7.5. It's a lot of fun. I think it's got a lot of nice set pieces and a decent pace, but there isn't as much meat on the bones as normally would like. But it's not bad at all. It's a terrific episode, and it's wonderful to have the, you know, continuation so spread apart, but yet in a single season, kind of get the X-Files, the wonderful predictor for what's to come. Thanks so much for talking, and you can always visit us on Twitter at the X_cast or on Facebook. We've got a page and a group, which is the XCast X-Files podcast fan group. So we'll be back again for the next episode to discuss the episodes Born Again and Roland. So until next time, trust the one.